This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, it's Edwyn Collins, Girl Like You, from 1994.
That song is ripe for a butchering of a cover version by some crap and massive pop star.
Oh.
It's got that automatic success chorus that you don't know you love until someone terrible covers it, remixes
automatic
it with auto-tune.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people, when you hear these covers, they don't even know they're covers.
Yeah, well, that kind of like, on the one hand, I don't want to be that curmudgeonly old Grinch that's like, oh, the kids do that. I also didn't realize that most of the hip hop I grew up liking, that most of those hooks
stolen,
and
yeah.
beats are sampled. And you start hearing like, you hear that, dun, 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 dun. You expect Jump Around by House of Pain to come on, and then it's like a jazz song from the 50s. So I don't have a problem too much with like, but this is the kind of song where people that already know it from their childhood and don't know that they know it. Like, for example, you know every word to every Wet, Wet, Wet song ever, whether you want to or not.
That's true.
That's just part of what society does. It violates your brain with that. You can't escape it.
I'm
unless
doing
you're
so much Googling right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. So like, you know, this is one of those where if you know it vaguely from your childhood, then you'll immediately be like, oh, I love this hook that I vaguely remember. And if you haven't heard it, it's good enough that, like you say, you're going to think someone new has written some kick ass song and like, not know that it's a cover.
Excuse me. Who thought Wet, Wet, Wet was a great
fucking
name for a band?
Worst name ever for a band.
They sat there and said, we need something catchy.
And they were massive at one point in the 90s. They had like an album where like every song on the album was a massive hit.
Love Is All Around, Sweet
it's
Surrender.
Written in the Wind.
Angel Eyes.
By the way, I have to say that that song comes off the Empire Records album, which has got to be one of the coolest.
Wet, Wet, Wet.
No. Girl Like You.
Oh, yeah.
Edwyn Collins.
I think it's even older than that, though.
No.
I think it was already an old song.
It was 94
movie.
In that movie. Yeah, I think it was probably included, but it doesn't matter.
That
which,
is a great
which
movie.
Came first, the chicken or the Empire
still
record.
Celebrate. What's it? The Oak Day? Rex Manning Day.
Mm.
Still celebrate Rex Manning Day every year. Oh, Rexy, you're so sexy. You're too young, Sia.
I don't know.
Dips,
I'm so
Dips,
confused.
Dips says, if you type a lot, the best laptop to go for is Lenovo, something like an X1 or an X1 Carbon, or perhaps a Dell XPS 13 or 15. So this is Dips being very technological.
Yeah. Thanks, dude. Joe Rogan also changed for the same reason, and he recommends a Sony of some kind, but I don't remember which one.
Okay. We have phones, tech companies, not included self-charging solar panels to the back. Why have they not included self-charging solar panels to the back of their products?
That's a good point.
I
don't know what the efficiency of a panel like that is, or the weight, or that sort of thing.
I had a transfer, a chauffeur transfer from the port to the airport in Rome, and sitting in the back of the car in that armrest thing,
mm-hmm.
I put my phone there and it started charging automatically.
Just from proximity?
Yes.
That's cool.
So that's quite cool.
I mean, I'm
like
convinced
that.
That's going to make weird shit grow in people's brains that's not supposed to grow in brains.
Maybe.
But still very cool. I mean, that is like some future shit when you see that work for the first time.
You see, those are the real technological innovations we all need. We don't need another camera lens. We just want to make sure somehow can our phones fit into our pockets and mm-hmm. somehow they charge. Can we be able to block people and not feel bad about it? Can you rid us of the guilt of blocking people? That's what they need to be working on.
There are a couple of things we need to cover today, so I'm going to move on quickly if you don't mind.
Mm.
Apparently, Chrissy Teigen called Donald Trump a pussy-ass bitch after he called her Jane Legend's filthy-mouthed wife. So the two of them are going at each other. And again, I love that Chrissy Teigen lives in a country where she can call the president of that country a pussy-ass bitch. Good for her. And I also love that Barry Bateman lives in a country where he can say puss about Julius Malema and hopefully not get fired.
Well, so by the way, Barry's still trending number 5 on Twitter. And once you get into Twitter, just know that it's going to be a war of words. Some points valid, some really not. But there's a whole melting pot happening now of, well, Barry said puss and EWN apologized for him, but Fresh said msunery and he was fired. Why can't we stand up? So that
Twitter,
conversation is currently
happening
right
now. Humanity
is
a long drop. And it's got a meter deep liquid feces as its base.
That's Twitter.
Twitter is the foam that floats on top of the feces. It is the worst of the worst of the species. Yeah. Black, white, gay, straight, left, right, every total asshole on any team is on there being an asshole. If that's where you get your opinion and your news and your inspiration and where you vicariously live the star life, you're a moron. Mm. Like, you know, watch the DVD of the O if he can sing and dance, because his opinion about politics means fuck all. And Twitter is just where nasty people go to agree with other nasty people and to berate strangers.
Gord, you deleted your Twitter accounts and never looked back.
Yeah, it should be burnt at the stake. And it was really fun when it first came out. And their decision, which they're now massively backtracking on, but their decision not to censor or manage or restrict the type of content. You can say what you want. You can post what you want. Porn stars can post their porn, whatever you want on there. That caused it to become this unchecked, unmitigated bullying ring of cretins and their cretin followers spewing ignorance and hate. And now Twitter are trying to deplatform people because they're saying shit that other people don't like. And it's like, well, you guys have basically gone from Bolsheviks to Nazis.
But you've created this monster. So now I agree.
It's just gross. No one there knows what they're talking about. You can't express any meaningful shit in it. Well, I mean, you can, but you seldom will express meaningful shit in the character limits.
It's not on my phone.
It's just assholes. I've deleted it completely.
I do not have it on my
phone. And I don't
phone.
Miss it at all.
No, me
I
neither.
Still have, like, I'm one of those people, I wouldn't call myself massively social media dependent or addicted, but I probably spend more time looking at my social media than what's optimal, and I should maybe cut it. I've cut it, and I should cut it some more. But while I'm inclined to occasionally mindlessly scroll through Instagram and then sometimes go, why am I checking this for the third time in an hour? There's nothing new. Twitter's just, I don't miss it ever. It's shit and it's harmful.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
Honestly, I think people should get themselves off there unless they've got some real work. And obviously, people can do what the fuck they like, but I don't see any reason to be on there that's not like just draining your attention and your energy and making you less intelligent unless you need it for something directly related to your business.
It's like if you sat in a room and you ate things that were making you sick.
It's like if you Edward Norton vibe in American History X, like, if you raise your little brother in a skinhead environment, that light, he's really got not a lot of choice but to come out indoctrinated. Mm-hmm. If you let people grow up and live life unchecked in the cesspool of Twitter, they're going to become nastier, more ignorant, their spelling will suffer. It's like there's a consequence to being in a shithole where everyone's mean. Yeah. You're going to come out affected by that.
All right. Well, here is a message that relates to our team discussion just before this. Teams started with that stupid movie Twilight. Team Jacob, or Team Edward. Bunch of tween team idiot motherfuckers.
That was where the hashtag team something first emerged. At least it's the first time I saw it.
And that was a terrible, terrible series of movies. Terrible.
You never fell into that
I never watched or read a single thing of that shit. I watched about half of a Twilight once when the girl I was dating was watching.
Do yourself a favor. If you were a massive Twilight fan at the time, I'll forgive you. But go and watch those things now and tell me it doesn't make you feel really stupid. It's
who will Bella choose?
It's so bad with that moody, brooding, teen angst bullshit. That, I mean, it's just so bad. If I was ever a teenager like that. I might have been a teenager like that. I don't know. But thank God I grew up.
I was so into the shit I was into. I mean, I'm still into it now, but I must have looked like such a twerp. Massive, even for me, too big jeans. You know, like frayed and cut off.
You grew up in the 90s.
Yeah, late 90s, early 2000s was my jam. I mean, I matriculated in 99 and did varsity until 2003. So, yeah, but I mean, like, even looking back at some of the pictures, it's like endearing and cute. But at the same time, like, my parents must have thought, like, what is, if they weren't too busy being preoccupied with themselves, they might have noticed, like, this kid is not.
Do you want a hug?
I must have been incorrigible because I took that shit so seriously.
Yeah, big time.
We've been watching Hip Hop Evolution and the Defiant Ones and watching like all of these documentaries that are coming out on like looking back at hip hop from its early origins. And I'm passionate about that shit. And I look back on it and I'm like, some of the stuff is and has always been so great. And some of it is just such bullshit. Like the outfits, the trends, the pop. There's this bedrock of coolness that everything's built from that's kind of evolved and stayed cool forever. But man, I was down with some bullshit fashion.
Music. Neil says, is Gord on his period? He should be happy. At least Manx didn't drop points this weekend.
Yeah,
we never talk sport anymore on the show, so that's nice. Thanks for that, Neil. Twinkle, well, sparkle like the human My Little Pony unicorn crap. That was that Twilight stuff. Yeah. Yeah, twinkle, sparkle crap.
What is the dude's name? He's now going to be Batman.
Robert Pattinson.
But he's actually like a seriously – he's British, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. He's quite an accomplished actor, and he's also been in some badass movies other than – so he's typecast, in other words. Yeah. He's kind of like seen as this naffy
leading man.
Effeminate leading man.
So do you want to hear about the new Butchula?
Yes, the Butchula.
I know you're excited about
it. I just thought this new dude looked a bit more like, I don't know, like he could change a tire than the previous dude.
Hello, South Africa. I'm Mark Buckner, and I'm your new bachelor. So come and get to know me.
Oh, bad intro.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's better than, how's it, South Africa? I'm the new Butchula, and I'm very excited to find out which Bennett I'm going to choose to be my loving life partner for cherishing of life of Jesus together forever after 3 weeks of TV program. Now, this oak sounds a bit, like I said, he looks a bit more rugged and outdoorsy. My taste.
Yeah, he does look outdoorsy. He's the, you know, the opening view of him is like in a forest or whatever.
A little bit about myself. I really enjoy nature. This is where I spend most of my time with friends and family. I'm looking for someone that would be interested in that. Personality traits that get me into the most trouble. I don't think before I do, generally. And I'm very spontaneous, so I just go for it. I like to consider myself romantic, and I have a few ideas of what
I think. I don't know. Really spontaneous people never say they're spontaneous.
Yeah, and
they're unpredictable and wild.
They just demonstrate spontaneity. Normally I would explain that I'm spontaneous now, but I'm just going to not do that.
Exactly. That's what real spontaneity is.
Unless they spontaneously tell you how spontaneous they are in a conversation not related to spontaneity. middle of you explaining some geological rocks that you found, and the oak's like, guess what? I'm leg spontaneous. And you'll be like, that was pretty spontaneous to say, but I don't know how it relates to the igneous problem that we're trying to solve with these rocks. Well, I was just being spontaneous.
All right, so what do you think of the new Butchula, Sia?
Not really.
You preferred the previous one.
Fascinated, yeah.
The previous Oak was such a douchebag, it was unbelievable. And this is from me, a person that actively made an effort to try not to know anything about The Last Bachelor. And just you guys, with your obsession with it, led me to know enough that this Oak was a flaming douche canoe with Guy Fieri fire stripes down the side.
Let me tell you about flaming douche canoes. Do you want to hear a flaming douche canoe at work? Listen to this one.
Chairperson, hi. Those who are saying I'm not educated, I train doctors at the SABC.
Oh.
I train lawyers. When they join SABC, what do you know? It's theory. Because that is what our education system is. People know theory, and when you know theory, that is what the problem is.
Huh?
You should combine.
So you taught them about what happens in practice at the SABC and how SABC works.
Poor Judge Zondo has to bring down his own IQ to about room temperature to deal with this fucking lizard that's sitting in front of him.
Claudi
Motsoeneng is what happens when the reptile brain grows, but the other parts on top of it don't really come together. Claudi Motsoeneng is so unbelievably stupid that it beggars belief that he's able to breathe and walk at the same time.
Well, he is like a prime example of the Dunning-Kruger effect, where the less you know about something, the more confident you're likely to be about your opinion. Similarly, like it takes 10 years of playing an instrument to realize you aren't good at it.
Right.
Because you need that much time to understand how good people who are good are. So it's one of these examples. I use it all the time, and I use it often for boots. I say boots are generally between 5 and 25% just not smart enough to realize how thick they are.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you were 5% smarter, you'd be smart enough to comprehend that you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get morons with this confidence, like the Dunning-Kruger effect.
And you know, someone said to me once, and it was good advice, because we should all be humble enough to realize that, you know, it's not that other people are stupid, it's maybe that you're just bright. Maybe you're just
but
a little bit smarter.
A lot of really thick people also think everyone else is thick.
Right. Now, this guy thinks that – I just want you to try and take this in. So this is now Judge Zondo trying to get to grips with the vacuum that exists between the ears of Hladi Mitsoneng. I mean, for a judge, this man studied law. He's presided over this very important commission of inquiry into state capture. And he's trying to understand why the SABC was hollowed out by a person of the most base instincts and a person of the most irreparable hardware damage to his CPU that has ever been put in a position.
You think he's like literally impaired?
I think he was pulled out of his mother's womb and they squeezed too hard and his brains fell out of his ears.
Oh.
Because he is not, this is, there's something dramatically wrong with the hardware. It's not a, this is not an education thing. Like Cloudy's talking about whether or not he had a matric, and here's the story from him. I'm going to try to be as generous as I can. He was asked why he lied about having a matric. He doesn't have a matric, right? He says, I didn't lie. The HR woman told me to say I had a matric, so I did. But that means you lied.
Yeah. You knew she was telling you to put something down that wasn't true. It didn't become true because she said you should write it.
But this guy, he's not capable of even seeing a simple fact like that to be a fact. I've met Hladi Mitsoneng on an unfortunate one or two occasions at the SABC, and thankfully I was gone before he took over, because I sat for 5 minutes in a presentation that he gave and I realized, like, I was being addressed by someone who was legitimately going to make me a lot dumber if I stayed there.
Mm.
And I needed to get out. And I just walked out in the middle of his presentation. He was talking about freelancers or something else. And I mean, Thabo Modisani, who was my producer, will vouch for me that I got up and I walked out. I realized this is a very bad environment for someone who doesn't want to get dumber.
Yeah.
To keep
corrosive to your IQ.
Right. And I don't think I'm the smartest person in the world, but I certainly know. I know that there are small crepuscular marsupials that come out only at twilight in the morning and twilight in the evening.
Crepuscular is fucking word of the week, GC.
There are creatures of that nature that are able to comprehend their position in the universe in a better way than this guy.
Let's go back to crepuscular.
Okay. It's okay, resembling or relating to twilight. That's of course great. I sat on the
crepuscular. That is fucking beautiful. I'm so glad. I learned uncular the other day. I'd always heard the word, but never
unctuous.
Unctuous.
Uncular sounds
shit.
Like a
See,
girl
I didn't even
from
learn
the Drotsburg.
Right. I'm all about, like, no matter how hard you try at vocabulary, you're always going to your whole life be surprised by interesting words you didn't know before.
Unctuous is the most beautiful word.
Oh, it's such a great word, and I've heard it here and there, and I kind of knew the general gist of it is that it's to be like mentory, but I didn't realize it was as or of an uncle in guidance.
No, but it's not a good word.
No, it's like a bit patronizing.
It's like a creepy uncle.
And a merchant who is unctuous is trying to sell you something. You know those slimy people who are...
But unless I'm looking at a different word, because it means like in an uncle-y kind of nurturing kind of guiding way. I might be looking at actual unctuous.
So the word is a person excessively or ingratiatingly flattering and oily.
Ooh.
It's not good. It's unctuous is not a good word.
Is it uncular?
Is it similar to being cunning?
Like a secondhand car salesman, they go, hey, you've really got to buy this car. It's the most brilliant car. You love it. It's fantastic. It's only been owned by 73 people before.
Original wood finish. Look at this original wood. This all original wood.
That's
yeah.
unctuous. You know, like when a priest, you don't see them your whole life.
I was right. My word was uncular, so it's a different word.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Uncular is relating to an uncle.
Yeah, it's being uncle-y, but it talks more about having like a sort of slightly patriarchal guidance.
I don't like uncular.
Yeah. Like you give yourself – it's almost like making yourself a father figure but making yourself an uncle figure.
Okay. All right. Well,
and
then
it kind of implies a lot of nurturing but also implies a bit of pontification.
I didn't know that was a word. Yeah. There's also avuncular. Is that perhaps the word you were looking for? Because that is relating to an uncle.
Is that related to you, monk?
Uncular and avuncular might be related. But I was telling Kulani, like, we need to make like a lowest common denominator, because the lowest common denominator in entertainment works. And you've seen that throughout this history of hip hop that I've been talking about, is that like there's this wonderful thriving art form. And as soon as somebody sees that it, there's like a new trend emerging in it. They can mine that for the lowest common denominator, create some like bubblegum formulaic thing. When gangster rap was the case, we got a lot of bad gangster rap being commercialized. When Puff Daddy and Bad Boy started making living the big life and money a thing, then you got these acts that took it to the nth dimension.
A lot of messages are coming in. I just have to say that are saying it is avuncular, the word you're looking for.
Uncular, according to the internet, works as well. Avuncular. But they both mean the same thing.
Avuncular means kind and friendly towards a younger or less experienced person.
Yeah, and uncular is of or like an uncle. Anyway, so we're always going to see that the worst of things get amplified. So I want to make a TV streaming series where it's all just like terrible reality series, shit documentaries with no due diligence done about whether there's aliens and conspiracy theory shit and just all that shit that appeals to fucking morons, and call it Cretflix. a place where the cretins can come and watch their bullshit. Cretflix.
You should actually,
and then there should be an
fans.
Animal-related one called Vetflix, and we should all get our exercise information from Sweatflix, and we should have like really skanky pornography on Sletflix.
So I just want to suggest that your CEO for Cretflix could be
Cloudy.
Cloudy Montfenig.
That's how we got to this. Like, obviously, the person is thick, but there's a certain thing you get with people who are bright or who are thick, and people have said to me, it's kind of narcissism. It's like, look, anyone that's ever been in a relationship with someone that didn't work out and that person turned out to be a bit more of a dick than you thought, they're a psycho. They were a total narcissist. Like, I know of living with a narcissist. It's not just someone was a bit of a cock and I didn't want to break up and they did, so they're a psycho. Narcissism's a fucking serious thing. But there is a certain thing that certain people have to a greater or lesser extent than other people where you are incapable of comprehending you might be wrong.
Okay,
like
listen,
it's just not a potential factor.
This is such gold, and people get upset when I play Cloudy clips, but it's bizarre to me to exist in the same universe as someone.
But there are people who believe their own shit.
Well, listen, this is his point, right?
And how
so the judge is now trying to get to grips with it.
That's what you say you taught them about.
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes.
That's why I'm saying it is an insult for anyone who is saying Saudi's matriculous.
And you say that the fact that you don't, you didn't have matric, didn't prevent you from acquiring a lot of knowledge about how SABC works, and that was an important advantage on your side.
Yes, Chairperson, and I want to thank the SABC because even if you check my profile, they took me to universities. I lecture at the universities.
By the way, the universities that he said he lectured at have all come back in the last 15 hours saying that they absolutely disavow the fact that he's ever lectured at the universities. They've never given him a platform for lecturing, and that he's made that up.
I've never seen Gibbs, for example, be so shady, just like,
not us. They've all immediately distanced themselves from him.
Also like a flaming torch beacon of pussery that you can see from miles away. Before you meet a puss, you'll see their shining torch way ahead of you in the distance of when they refer to themselves in the second or third person.
Yeah.
Like, that's when you'll see Gordon. You'll really see Gordon when you get to know how Gordon works at work with the people that respect him. Like, shut the fuck up immediately. You're an idiot. Like, doesn't matter what the rest of what you were going to say is. You're a moron.
By
shut
the way,
up.
Does anyone else, when you listen to this, feel a little bit sorry for these poor people who have to actually sit in the State Commission of Inquiry for the Commission of Inquiry for State Capture? Doesn't it sound like the most boring place in the whole world to be?
I'm looking at the bigger picture. I mean, I feel like we all had to endure Saudi getting to this point. So this is the least that has to be done.
By the way, according to a message that we've just got, this coming in from Jessica, uncular is not in the Scrabble dictionary, therefore it is not a proper word according to her.
See, I googled it. He was, impartial Googler. He's got it right.
UNCULAR.
You guys, while you're Googling, Sia, I got a message from somebody who says, and this is from Richard, says, please Google the Titicaca scrotum frog.
The titty caca scrotum flog. I'm on it.
Dude, I want that on my search history.
Titty caca scrotum frog. All right, let's see what we can find. I'm giving up on this cloudy thing, by the way. You can listen to it in your own time.
Oh, then.
So what is the titty caca scrotum frog?
It's just, it's bad enough that you got that you are the people of titty caca and you decide you get a name. One of your animals is a scrotum frog.
A Titicaca, Lake Titicaca is in Peru.
Oh, no, that's not so bad. Scrotums are uglier than the Titicaca scrotum frog. He's actually kind of cute. He looks a little bit like a, what are those salamander things called that people used to keep as pets? Oh, man, those big-ass salamanders. Axolotls. He looks like an axolotl.
An axolotl.
Yeah.
I haven't heard about that for years.
Yeah, they were, like, illegal. My teacher had one in primary school. I had two in primary school, and she was like, yeah, these are actually against the law because they go down the drains and then they get in the water systems and they fuck up local, less competitive.
Do they?
Yeah. They're so invasive in some way, so you're not allowed to – they're not legally allowed to be kept as pets. But it's just an ugly-ass thing.
Don't they also lose their tails?
I cannot comment on that. I have a feeling it sounds right. It sounds like they are tail regenerative motherfuckers. But, you know, geckos and shit, there's a certain class, there's a classification of lizards that regrow their body parts. But axolotls just are like super ugly.
They are hideous.
Yeah, and they were big, as pets in like the 80s and 90s until they kind of got, banned.
They have like a row of six funny fins.
Yeah, they've
their
got
heads.
Like weird, yeah. It looks like hair, but it's their ear things.
They're gross.
That make them pretty stiff. Anyway, the titty caca scrotum frog is. I mean, I don't know. I've seen some scrotums in my day, and that doesn't look like any
great.
Of them.
That is so great.
Looks like he has. Oh, you know why? It's because his head is coming out of a foreskin. That should be called the titty caca foreskin frog.
Oh God, how gross!
Google that shit.
After listening to that cloudy clip, I feel more dumberer. That's a very good way of putting it, actually. It's the only appropriate way to put it, so thank you for that, Leandi. All right, that's all we got time for in the messages this morning because I want to get to our guest. Rowan Ash is here. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He's a multi-talented singer and songwriter. He's from Pretoria, but we won't hold that against him, with a modern soul pop country style. It's a hell of a fusion, man. He started playing guitar all the way back in 2001, and in 2006 he started opening for other bands, doing his own live performances. Since then, he has shared the stage with artists like Dan Podlansky, Matthew Moll, Joe Black, Jan Blom, Quiscom Bass, Honor Carstens, and so on. And in February 2015, he recorded and released his debut album, The Traveler, independently. In 2016, he co-wrote and recorded the theme song of the feature film Seklinks' Lente, alongside Boa Bosch and Davy de Jager. He also co-wrote the Joe Black album, Skipper. So he's got a hell of a CV here. This is very, very exciting. Nice to see you, dude. How are you?
Oh, man, great. Thanks for having me.
Haven't you just got back from America?
Yes, yes. We recently came back from the States. We played at the CMA Festival in Nashville.
If you had a helmet with big feathers in it, you'd look like Asterix.
Oh.
Holy shit.
Am I right?
You do look... Yeah, but you're too big. Asterix is little. You're like a full-sized adult man, but you are a little bit Asterix-y. I could be Oblix. Holy shit. We could do next.
I want you to
next dress up, Joel. You and me.
Asterix and Oblix. Yeah. Look at this. This is meant to be. This is what you call
That's
the
awesome.
Shit. All right, so tell me, Asterix. What were you doing in America?
We got invited to play at the CMA, the Country Music Award Festival.
Wow, that's a big deal.
Yeah, so it was really cool.
You were in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes, we were.
You must have fitted in with that mustache, dude.
I did, actually. I didn't really have this much of a mustache at that time.
People, what is the current state of the mustache? Can we talk about that? Gord, what do you feel the mustache's current status is?
I've let this kind of thing... I used to care a lot about what was trendy and where the line of douchiness lay in any trend. And now I don't really let it faze me that much. It's like the mustache made a comeback because of Movember, and then people were wearing them ironically and similarly to how like an
what
old
– What made you decide to get one?
Yeah, did it start as a joke is where I was going with that.
No, literally – I don't know why. Oh, man, that's the only thing that I can grow on my face. And I just wanted to let it be. So every now and then, I just go through a phase and I cut it off, or I cut my hair, or I just grow the hair.
And, what did people think of you in Tennessee? Did they like you?
Oh, man, they loved it.
Awesome.
But I must say, I think my most favorite part of the whole trip was standing on the stage and someone like opening a South African flag. That was really cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's South African to Tennessee.
Yes, that was really cool. There's quite a bunch of them.
And how did you like, did you hold your own as a musician? Did you feel like, oh my God, the big stage is so much bigger than what I had expected and was prepared for?
Yeah,
or were you like, sweet, I'm in my element now?
Because a lot of South Africans, to paraphrase Gordon some way, a lot of South Africans have this, and it's bizarre because we shouldn't have it, this idea that when you're in America, it's now the big league.
Yeah, I know.
Completely. That's what I experienced as well. When it comes to the sound engineer, I've had a lot better sound in South Africa. The artist in South Africa is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And they don't need to like, feel inferior to anybody in the world, actually, when it comes to music or...
What kind of stuff are you busy with at the moment? Are you recording?
Not at the moment. We're just writing new material and just touring.
How does your writing process work?
Well, it differs, but it usually starts with a couple of chords and then melody, and then I just jump into.
So, are you sitting with your guitar on a given day, and you'll just be jamming and messing around, and you'll suddenly find something, and you'll go, "Oh, let me play with that," and then suddenly a melody develops.
Yes, exactly.
God, that's amazing. Oh man. I wish I could do that.
Yeah, but other times...
Have you tried?
No, please, I'll be shit at it. I just know. I've tried at the piano.
You've got a good ear for a tune. You can sing a bit. You're decent as a DJ.
I've tried at the piano. I can't do it. So tell me how it works with you.
Well, sometimes you just like driving the car. So I've got a bunch of voice notes on my phone when I get a melody or a nice...
You record it.
Yeah, and I just keep on singing. But most of the time I just jam the guitar and just jump into, it's more like gibberish and just phrases at the beginning.
James Hetfield from Metallica does that. He sings the melody with like non-words. Yes. And then, and so does, Tim McElrath from Rise Against, and I know Green Day do a bit of that as well.
Yeah.
Like he'll sing the whole vocal tune and then fill the words in later.
Now, dude, I have to congratulate you. I mean, your streams have reached like a 30 million mark worldwide to date.
Damn,
that's a hell of a lot of listens.
That's crazy.
That's impressive stuff. You're still climbing up that list. In any case, If I Ever Saw Heaven and Whiskey to My Soul, number one on several South African radio stations. The music video is over 1 million streams on YouTube. That's very impressive stuff.
Oh, thanks so much.
Because it's hard to measure these days. Like, who's a successful music?
I've also always wanted to ask someone, like, just out of curiosity, like, when you get to those numbers where YouTube start actually sending you money, like, do they EFT you? Do they mail you an old school check? Like, how do you get your YouTube royalties?
Well, to be honest, I haven't really seen any revenue when it comes to YouTube or the streaming platform.
But have you set it up to be like a monetized account? Because you must do that shit.
Well,
30 million streams, you should be getting some money for that, surely.
I think you should, but I also think that the money is so small now. Because you get like a cent or 2 cents on every stream.
I think for 30 million streams, you should look into it, bro.
Yeah, well, 2 cents will be proper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, good luck to you if that's the case. I mean, I'd be interested to hear what happens when, and I suppose they'll just pay it into your PayPal account or something. That's probably what they do. So, all right, the SAMAs, because you were nominated for a SAMA Award in 2019 in the Adult Contemporary Album of the Year. And who won that category?
Art Matthews.
Oh, Art Matthews won?
Yes.
Did you even go to the SAMAs?
No, I actually played a show. So I couldn't make it.
Good for you.
But I've always been a massive Art Matthews and Just Ginger fan from back in the day. So well deserved.
I wonder if he included his cover of the national anthem.
No, come on, Gord. Can people not make mistakes?
No, I love Art Matthews as well, and I think it's sad what happened there, but I will never forget it.
Okay, so tell me what kind of people you met in Nashville. I've never been there. All I know is that it's got this mythology around it. You know, it's the country music capital of the world, and Elvis and all that kind of thing. Tell me about Nashville.
To be honest, man, it's not what I expected at all. I thought it's going to be like countryside and a bunch of original artists and music. But when we got there, it was just like this city. It's just tall city buildings. And like if you've been to one honky-tonk, You've probably been to them. You've been to them all. It's just like cover songs.
Honky tonk.
They call it a honky tonk.
That's like a bar where there's someone playing live music.
But it was so cool, man. I got to meet so many. We got invited to be at the CMT Awards, the Country Music Television Awards.
Oh.
Yeah, so we got tickets and we watched like everyone from Darius Rucker, Kerry Underwood, Boys to Men.
Wow.
Keith Urban.
That's pretty
Cheryl
cool.
Crow. Yeah, that was really cool.
Listen, South Africans don't really understand how big the country music scene in America is, because we only, you know, we pay attention maybe to the pop and the R&B and the hip hop scene, but the country music scene is enormous, and country musicians probably make more money than the people in pop music.
Yeah, well, I've got no idea. But I think
Dolly Parton, who was, she's now well past her prime, but Dolly Parton has a place called Dollywood.
A whole amusement park.
It's a whole goddamned amusement park dedicated to her and her big tits. Unbelievable, right?
That's crazy.
Huh? Unbelievable.
That's a great investment.
Yeah. And guys like, no, there are country music stars we've never heard of in this country who are multi millionaires.
Ah, definitely. Yeah.
So what did they think when you walked in, and did you play in any of these honky-tonks and bars?
The first thing that they mentioned was my accent. I've got a strong Afrikaans accent, actually.
Yeah.
But as soon as I start singing, it just disappears. So we had this debate of where does the accent go, and I've still got no idea. As soon as you start singing.
Grab that guitar of yours. Let's have some fun.
That's actually an interesting observation.
You don't need to worry about the headphones, because you just listen to your guitar and do your thing. I'll worry about the sound. Yeah, we'll slide that microphone over in front of the guitar, and then he can use that one as the vocal mic. Let's do this live. Let's play around. Play me one of your songs, because for people who haven't heard you before, this is a chance for them to get to know something about you, and maybe one or two of the things that the Americans liked, so we can get some kind of feel for what might be different.
Cool.
Are you good with that? You don't need the headphones.
Okay.
Yeah, you do your thing. Don't worry, dude. All
right,
I got this under control.
I'm just going to take this.
You just play for us. I love this. This is great. Little acoustic fun.
This is so awesome.
Go on. Do your thing, man.
Oh, this guitar sounds good.
Good sound.
Yeah.
What is that?
This is a Larivé. Yeah, man. There's an awesome place in Joburg, the Guitar Gallery.
Yeah?
So each guitar's got this amazing story.
It's a beautiful guitar.
Thanks so much.
How long you had that one?
Well, it's quite new, actually, so it needs a bit of character, man, but I just completely fell in love with this. I actually played a bunch of those, and this was one of those that I played blindfolded.
Wow.
Yeah, so Stefan, he blindfolds
Who's Stefan?
You. He's the owner of the guitar gallery.
Okay, yeah.
So he makes coffee, and you're sitting in this incredible lounge, and he's got this stash of Martins and Larivés and Santa Cruzes. Mm. And then you just literally sit there and play all the guitars.
Looks good.
As soon as you love the two or three, they blindfold you and you just get to play like all the instruments, man. And then
you choose based on what sounds best with the blindfold on?
Yeah, because I preferred the other one without the blindfold, but this one, I just came back to this one every time.
So. Play something for us. Let's go.
All right.
Let's do this.
This one's called Whiskey to My Soul.
Bring it on.
If you come face to face with the devil tonight, will you pick up where you left off and you start to fight? And feel alone and you're as dark as night. Know it's wrong, but boy, it sure feels right. Like whiskey to my soul. You're home when I got no place to go. So come on and tie me down and take me out to town. Got a feeling we've been taking the long way round. Is it just fantasy? Honey, is it just make-believe? You're awakening the monster deep inside of me.
No, don't stop. Keep it up, man. Don't stop. I'm loving this.
You burn my soul when you touch my skin. And I'ma cause you pain if I let you in. 'Cause you taste like honey, but you smell like gin. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I know you're like whiskey to my soul. You're home when I got no place to go. So come on and tie me down and take me out to town. Got a feeling we've been taking a long way around. Is it just fantasy? Honey, is it just make-believe? You're awakening the monster deep inside of me. I've been living in the shadows. Shine your light on me.
Magnificent. That's
I'll
beautiful.
Take all of that you got. I'll have two bags of that.
Damn, dude. Awesome. Thanks, well, man. A couple of messages coming in. Someone says, Jarsis, I am in love with this. This is from Harmin. And then Cindy says, oh, that voice and the guitar. Beautiful tone. Thanks for these amazing things this morning. That's from Cindy. Mm. Someone says they downloaded your album a few months ago.
Oh, fantastic.
Really good stuff. That's Carl. So awesome, awesome messages coming in from people. how did you know that you could do this stuff? When did you start playing?
Man, I wanted to be a musician like all my life. And when I was about 15, 16 years old, I had like the drive, but not really the talent at all. So it was
you
never
didn't
like,
have the talent or you yeah, didn't know you had it? Because this is talent.
The thing is man, at the end of the day, it was just so much work. So I've been playing for 18 years and I've been doing the circuit for the last 14 years. Yeah. And about 5 years ago, I must say probably the last 3 years, it really excelled. I excelled like in the songwriting and the vocal.
Just started to click into place.
Yeah, man, it's been a long journey actually.
And that is a good song.
Oh, thanks, man.
It's one of those where you just can't get around needing to jam a lot for a long time. Like, you can't, you know, some people take to it a bit more naturally than others, but you just cannot, in order to play, especially to play and sing, that's something that, like, absolutely blows my mind and always has. Like, people that can play and sing. I'm an average to shit bass player, but I can answer basic yes-no questions while I'm playing. I can't speak. Like, to be able to sing and play.
And sing well.
I cannot, at all, to be able to even just recite the lyrics to something while you play it, blows my brain.
Man, I think it's a muscle memory thing at the end of the day. But I recently started playing the piano. I know Gareth mentioned that he plays a bit of piano. And it just took me back to when I started learning the guitar and how frustrated you would get. And last week, starting to play a bit of piano, I actually remember myself learning About a Girl from Nirvana. That was one of the first songs.
Oh, can you still play it?
They're the gateway to so many people.
Please just give me a little bit of that. Well, now you brought it up, you have to.
But
come on, let's do this.
Just this. Oh, man, it was so hard for me to do this and sing. It was... I haven't played this in ages, man.
That's
a proper tune. Wow.
Not an easy one to sing, so well done on that front, too.
But you got the voice for it. I wanted to ask as well, you went to the country music thing in Nashville. Are they fully embrace you as, like, country? Man. Are they welcoming to other people from other countries? Because it's quite an American. I mean, it's like, it's as quintessentially American as any music form.
American.
Yeah, it's the American music form. And they're like, are they okay with, you're not American, why are you singing God's music?
Well, man, it's actually so crazy. I got invited to play.
You ain't American, son.
Yeah.
That's the Lord's music you're playing with there.
God's
that their guitar.
That's been since the creation of the world 6,000 years ago.
Did you meet any
been
people two like
things.
That? Are there people like that
no,
in Tennessee?
No, not really, man. I was just swamped with a back-to-back meeting, so I was like literally, I was meeting all
did
the major
meet?
Labels.
Okay, how did those go? That's more important than what the crowd thought of you.
To be honest, with our show, we had Mark, who was the CEO of Universal there, Scott Bruschetta from Big Machine, and here's John Espo from the head of Warner Music, all just standing there. And jeez. I was like, yes.
Were you nervous?
Man, because I got to meet so many of the people, you got to know them and you just realize they're all human. So it wasn't as nerve-wracking. Man, but I must say, one of the most beautiful places, Memphis, dude. That was the place.
Did you go to Memphis?
To
huh?
Yes. Well, we completely fell in love
with
Memphis.
Did you go to Graceland?
We did, yes.
Did it feel like a religious experience?
Man, I wouldn't say Graceland, though, but Sun Studios.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that was cool. That was really, really cool.
What
and
a
they
place.
They invited you with open arms. Because we played the CMA festival, that we didn't like pay any entrance fee.
Wow.
They gave us T-shirts, and it was just, man, that was such a cool experience. And because it's not as sugar-coated as Nashville is, it's a bit more edgy. But I think the crime rate is are higher, so
yeah, it's a bit of a rough place.
So you felt a bit more at home.
You did. You definitely did. Yeah. So
that reassuring
loved.
Instinct to lock your shit comes back, and you feel now I'm whole again.
Play us another song, man.
Oh man.
And just I was gonna say, like you just sitting on the chairs we do the show in, holding a guitar, using the vocal, the mics, which are not musical mics. I mean, it sounds fucking great, and I'm sure people at home are agreeing it sounds amazing, but you're just like a dude carrying a guitar. You sit down and play. There's no fancy.
It's amazing. I love
this
it.
Is as
there are no vocal effects.
Unfancy
going on
and unbullshit as you get.
Give us one of your other songs.
Anything
this
in particular?
Great. You play one of your songs.
Man, I'm gonna do a new song.
All right.
I don't know why by default you always go to. Well, I always go to a love song.
That's good.
But the next one is about just turning the page. Got lost in translation. We just don't talk anymore. There's nothing I could do, just couldn't get to you. Felt like a one-way conversation. I need to turn the page on you. Yeah, even though it hurts me too. Oh, just before all hell breaks loose, I need to turn the page on. Turn the page on. Page on you. You know it's not that complicated. Why don't we live our separate lives? It's not like I didn't try. Don't sit and wonder why. Wonder why we never made it. I need to turn the page on you. Yeah, even though it hurts me too. Or just before all hell breaks loose, I need to turn the page on. Need to turn the page. Just before all hell breaks loose, I need to
God. Like, dude.
Yeah, dude, you've made at least one serious new fan today. Because that is, I'll take all of that you've got.
You are a real muso, man. I mean, that chord, just before you go into the fire.
D minor.
That is such a, that was so beautifully done.
Awesome. Mm. Thanks so much, man.
Let me ask you something. Where can people see you, first of all? Because you have to be seen live to be believed. I love that you just do this. It's so effortless for you. It's so easy. Who's the girl you wrote that song about? What happened?
Man, I can't... it was actually like an industry thing that...
Was it a business relationship that you...
It was actually a business relationship. However, it's just to make it a bit more relatable, I think.
Sounds like a girl you needed to get away from one of those toxic relationships.
I've been in a situation like that, and that song caught me in the feels a little bit.
Mm.
I'd rather face a lake of fire than take another chance on you.
Yes, man.
I was like, right in the fields.
Yes.
All right. So where are you performing?
Man, a couple of shows worth mentioning is myself and Joe Black. We're doing a show at the Sun Arena on the 26th of October. So, man, and the sales.
Where's the Sun Arena?
It's in Pretoria.
It's great. I'm from Pretoria. That place is a good venue to play in.
Man, but it's like a 8,000 or 10,000 seat. I'm not sure. Nice. Well, that's a big gap between 8 and 10. But the ticket sales have been like through the roof.
Awesome, because that's such a nerve-wracking thing when you know that you've got to sell tickets and maybe you're half of it sold, and you think, I've got to fill a bloody 10,000 seater place.
That's
frightening.
It's crazy. And then I'm doing like this a little production show at the Theatre of Marcellus at Emperor's Palace on the 29th of October. Of November.
All right.
And man, that's just going
to
be
time to prepare. Okay.
Yeah. You do a bunch of theater shows, and it's like usually like the Atterbury Theater is like 400 people, or the Barnyard Theaters. So this Theater of Marcellus is 1,000 seater. So that's it's a big one for me. But man, the people they've been faithful and coming to the shows, and man. It's just great. I'm thankful.
Dude, you play like you just played now.
Man. Mm. And the way he writes as well. I first heard about you with your song, If I Saw Heaven. I was like, okay, I wish someone said that about me. Because the lyrics are, if I ever saw heaven, it would look like you. I mean, okay.
Shit. Sure. All right, dude. You've
just going to cry in the corner now.
It's so weird, but that was like the last song on the EP that I thought would like.
You didn't have much hope for it?
The thing is I never write commercially.
It was one of your ugly children, and you didn't believe it would be a hit.
That's true, And it wasn't written. Like, we recorded the whole six-track EP, and If I Ever Say Heaven wasn't even written. So at the tail end, after, like, recording everything was almost ready for, like, packaging. Then the song only got written, and Danny just, the producer, Danny Smoke, he just fell in love with the song. He's like, okay, let's do this. And so it just happened to be the first single that we released.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you and to actually spend some time talking to you. You're terrific.
Yeah, dude. Huge fan. I didn't know your stuff coming in, and like, I'm a massive fan now. So where can people like me go track down more about you? I presume you're on the social medias?
Yes, I am. But inactive, though. But
yeah, don't worry. As long as people can find out.
Yeah, where can people get that info?
Rowan _ Ash, Roan _ Ash, and Rowan Ash Music on Facebook.
Roan Ash, and you can go and find out everything you need to know. Thanks, dude.
Thanks, man. Thanks so much for having me.
Love you guys.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We will see you tomorrow, bright and early, at 6 o'clock. And if you have an axolotl, please do not flush it down.
Be angular with your axolotls, guys.
Thank you very much. Please, we've got to look after these axolotls.
In an angular fashion.
Okay, very good. All right, have a happy day.
This is CliffCentral.com.